Hi, everybody. It is Lee Milt here, and we have a fantastic interview today with a huge celebrity. And I mean this very seriously. He's one of the best booksellers in the entire world in history. And it is Mr. Mark Victor Hansen. He is an author and a sought-after speaker. He is the co-creator of the fantastic Chicken Soup for the Soul book series, which has sold, are you ready, drum roll, more than 500 million books worldwide. He is considered one of the most compelling leaders of our time. He has appeared on television programs since as Oprah herself, The Today Show, and great publications that you all know, such as Time USA Today and The New York Times. And he has been someone that I have known for a very long time and consider a dear friend and a support system. And it is Mr. Mark Victor Hansen. Welcome, Mark. How are you today?
I am blessed to be your friend and get to chat with all these wondrous people all over the world that are making things happen, because entrepreneurship is the most important thing, I think, happening on the planet right now, because entrepreneurs like you all take little value, make it a big value to the marketplace, yourself, create a future for all of us and a great fortune, hopefully, for yourself and your team. How's that?
Absolutely, and it's such a pleasure to have you, Mark, because, you know, I've interviewed you before, and, you know, we've known each other a very long time, and I just read last night your brand new book, and it's called The Miracles in You, and, one of the things that I'm pleased about is people like us are, you know, really sharing our spiritual view of life and how important that view is in success. So tell us why you wrote the book.
Well, what happened is that we wrote Chicken Soup for the Soul because we thought the soul of the world was in a heap of hurt. And obviously we sold, you know, 500 million books and 374 million in China, which is a totally communist country. So you go, wow, that's really cool. And then all of a sudden a publisher, the biggest spiritual publisher in the world, Worthy Publishing, sat with me at breakfast and said, look, we want you to write a miracle book because we think everybody wants a miracle. And it's even like last night I did a giant audience in San Diego, and I said, how many of you, if I had a magic wand, would like a miracle? 100% of hands raised. I said, how many of you think the world desperately needs miracles? Amazing to me, people stand up because the whole world needs some miracles to pull off some of the magic that we need to do. And, you know, the height of physics is metaphysics, and it's really nice that we can pull this off right now and do miracles that convert. Every one of us got obstacles in all sorts of ways. Obstacles into challenges, challenges into opportunities, and opportunities that we can solve and cash and make a great profit with. So I'm orienting this towards our business people because I believe the business of the world is the most important business that we do right now to get the world back in economic straight level flight.
Absolutely. I'm going to quote in your book, you said, every miracle is the result of an intentional act or decision, whether it is a direct act of God or a more common miracle that God allows us to perform. In order to unlock our full miracle-making potential, we need to be intentional about walking through progression that you call the miracle journey. So let's talk about intention, because this is I think a lot of people really don't understand the power of intention.
Well, when Jack and I started selling chicken soup, we had 144 publishers turned us down. So I don't want to have any of you misunderstand what we did. But we said, look, we'll sell 1.5 million in a year and a half, then 5 million, then 10 million, then 50 million, then 100 million, and then a billion ultimately. And that's intention. And we're only halfway to goal, but the goal was by 2020. So we got 5 years to finish it. We're still getting momentum, and we're now in places that you couldn't be before, like electronically in every drugstore and every grocery store. And there's no way, even though Jack is a Harvard Chinese Mandarin scholar and all that, there's no way I could have predicted we would be the first company ever to interface Chinese. The two hardest languages are English and then Chinese, then Russian and Iraqi. Who could have predicted that Jack, Chinese reads back to front and right to left, 180 degrees from the way America does. And I'm in China quarterly, and China has 7,000 what they call ideograms, what we would call 26 alphabet letters. Who would ever believe? I mean, if you told me, Lee and I have been friends for a little over 20 years, I'm sure of it, told me that we could pull this off, I'd go, I don't think so, Lee. That's beyond my belief. But we did it, and we've got the first book that interfaces English and Chinese. in the Chinese, forgive me for saying it, are metaphorically eating it up.
Well, good. You know, I remember being at the National Speakers Association with you and Jack Canfield, and you both came over and started telling me about this great dream you had, and it was about this thing called Chicken Soup for the Soul. And you're absolutely right. I don't think anybody could have ever predicted that, but the power of intention is incredible, and the fact that you and Jack are both very visionary about what you want, and that even though you've reached this incredible thing of selling 500 million books worldwide, your goal is really, did you say a billion?
Yeah, no one's ever done it. What I say is that when you're doing this thing about intention, first of all, you know, you got to have a vision. Solomon said, without vision, people perish. If you translate it, with vision, you flourish. And you ought to have a vision for miracles. And then number two, it's got to be in writing. This is every spiritual law, whether Judeo-Christian, whether it's Upanishads, it's all the same stuff, but it says write a thing and make it clear. So it was real clear what we wanted to do. And then third thing, you got to see it before you can have it, because that is really a conundrum and difficult. So the way you see it before you can have it is, we cut out a copy of Time magazine, which is one of the most read magazines. We also cut out People, and we put ourselves on the cover, and we said, already 1 billion sold, and I've got it on my desk and my mirror, because you put it on a mirror in your bathroom, so you do it when you're doing makeup or whether you're shaving or whatever, and you see it, and it goes through the portal of the pupil into the depth of the soul, and the minute it permeates, penetrates, fills the inner space of the mind, the intention is done, and what you will do is synchronize in future time and space with it. And I know that it's hard to believe, but the mindset of miracles is that you've got to live in the assumption of the wish fulfilled. Meaning, right now, what I want to do is create a wave of miracles. I'd love you all to have this book. I'd love you all to have miracles in your business. Whatever your business dream is, right, whether it is to make 100,000 or a million or a billion, and a billion today is more available than ever because of the law of accelerating returns from. I want to go one step further here with Ray Kurzweil, who's the guy who invented nanotechnology, head of Google X, considered the most brilliant business mind in the planet. You know, he's got $350 billion of Google money to spend by Larry Page. The point is, he says most of us in business think linearly, 1, 2, 3, and you go to 30. You get 30. But exponential, if you start with a dollar and it goes to 2 and then it goes to 4 and then to 8 and 16, by the time you hit 16, $1 becomes a billion. He says if we've hit the first time in business history that you have accelerating returns, and that's what miracles are about. Obviously, whether, you know, the old guys have passed, whether it's in Israel or America or India or China, did all these miracles, and everyone did miracles, whether it was Christ or Moses or Buddha. You know, the point is that if spirit is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, then all of us are here to do miracles, but most of us doubt ourselves, limit ourselves. So what I did in the back of the book is I wrote 12 scrolls, one for each month, and if you keep going over it and you brand it into your brain, etch in the fabric of your being, a line Lee and I learned from our dear teacher, Cabot Roberts, you know, you start to create miracles. And it just is wonderful, and you need to be an intentional miracle maker, creator, acceptor. How's that? That was a pretty long diatribe, but did it make sense, Lee?
Absolutely, absolutely. I love it in your book. You talk about you're constantly meeting in your life and travels people who dream the impossible dream. They believe, they took action, and they changed the world for the better. And that's really why I wanted to interview you again, Mark, is because I do believe that the media is single-handedly poisoning our reality about possible. So speak on that from your perspective.
Okay, so first of all, we wrote the chicken books. I've written 307 bestsellers. I'm very blessed and thankful. And I'm standing on the shoulders of a guy that Lee and I like a lot, Dr. Napoleon Hill, who wrote Think and Grow Rich, who wrote all the fireside chats for FDR. And, you know, during the Depression, he wrote, you have nothing to fear but fear itself. Confront your fears and make it disappear. But what Hill did is FDR brings him into the office, White House, and says, what are we going to do to turn it around? He said, well, first of all, we've got to bring all the ministers together, and we've got to rally them not to do any more negative preaching. For the next year, this is 1938, the Depression ended in 39, we've got to do positive preaching. Then they brought in all the media, which back in the old days, that was easy. We had just, you know, that was a burgeoning burgeoning. Television was just starting. It was just invented, making us come out of the Depression at a level from a 14-year-old kid invented it in Idaho, where my wife was born. Anyhow, the point is that suddenly you've got this thing called TV coming with three stations, and the president brings these guys in, and they respected the president at the time, and said, look, only positive media. And media started to change. Well, right now, what Lee is saying is absolutely, I'm in alignment with her, is it's negative, it makes you despondent, disconsolate, hateful, freaked out. And back in 1974, when I was trying to be my teacher, Buckminster Fuller, I was making $2 million a year at 26 years old, built geodesic domes, World Trade Center, botanical gardens, houses, all that stuff. And all of a sudden, Monsanto, a company I didn't like then and I don't like now with GMOs, you know, comes out and they won't let me have $40,000 worth of plastic PVC a month to build my structures. And it made me go bankrupt, which was my best, worst experience. It was God's nudging me, pushing me on to something great, which I didn't know. I wanted to be a speaker, but I didn't know I could. You know, 26, what do I know? And then be a writer and ultimately become where I am now, according to Guinness Book of Records, world's best-selling nonfiction author. So some of you are going through the tortures of the damned right now, and you've got the intention to get out of there. That's all you need. Then you need the fourth thing I said is you're going to need a mastermind, a dream team. And dream teaming with Lee on the phone and all of her peers who are predominantly positive and saying, hey, look, we can get through this. And the biggest picture for those of us that are entrepreneurs, I'm in the deal with Richard Branson, who invited me in to say, hey, look, let's put all the entrepreneurs of the world together, and we'll call it Virgin United, and we're doing that. Because he said, look, the political expedient's gone, whether it's in London or whether it was in Africa with his friend Nelson Mandela. And I'm working with, I think, the next Nelson Mandela, King Tofi from Ghana, Africa. We're, you know, I own an energy company, and we're doing everything from deep tidal ocean wind and geothermal and tidal 2 gigawatts energy. And he says, look, we'll bring Africa online and industrialize it and bring it up to speed because they got the most resources on the planet, and we'll do it with clean energy that's sustainable long term. And it was a long story, but that's what I believe, everyone.
Well, you quote Albert Einstein saying that either everything is a miracle or nothing is a miracle. So the subtitle of your chapter is The Miracle Mindset, and I so believe in that, and I loved all your stories. But share with our listeners what you consider the miracle mindset.
Well, the miracle mindset is everyone, so tell Jack and I, get out of here, 144 rejection letters, which we have, and we've gotten to show people. And one little publisher said, we'll take you, and we made him $2 billion, as it turns out. And the point is that we had the mindset that we were going to handle it, and that means you got to go over, under, around, or through every rejection. And at the time, I was teaching sales training around the world a little more heavily than I do nowadays, but I was saying it's one clean four-letter word, N-E-X-T. Next, because you're going to have a next, because people are going to say no to you. That is the give me, and if you got something really good, you got to have the feeling and belief that you can overcome it. And when you have the feeling and belief, miracles happen. I mean, it was a miracle that Jack and I went to the book expo ourselves after our agent fired us, and we went there and we sold the book ourselves, which was, you know, cost him millions of dollars, unfortunately, but we sold it, and that's the point, is if you suck it in, tough it out, perseverance prevails when all else fails, and that's what steely intentionality is. Whatever you have your attention on, there's only two shortages in the world, attention and time. There's nothing else. And so whatever you put your attention on, every priority is going to have an anti-priority. By the way, if I'm sounding like I'm pontificating, Lee, stop me. But the point is, all of us as business people know you got to say, what is it that we're going to focus on to create miracles and a life and a lifestyle that is worthy of us, so we have high-quality life and then get to have a high-quantity life. Or one of my miracle intentions is I want to live to be 127 because I could not be a happier camper. I mean, I got 5 kids, 5 grandkids, a spectacular wife, 7 businesses I love. I get to write books, and hopefully we get 10 million people to read it and go out and become miracle-minded to turn the whole planet into the utopia could potentially be, rather than the oblivion that some people are trying to take us to right now.
I'll say amen to that.
what a concept.
Really. One of the exercises I really love about your book, it was actually on page 20, is that you said if you would spend a little bit of time each evening reflecting on how God or the universe has touched her life that day and take notes, and then pay attention to the random acts of kindness that you see. And then open your eyes to what the universe is doing in you, through you, and around you. And this is how you develop the miracle mindset. I love that, because what you're really asking people to do is, you know, if you focus in on it, you know, we're all self-fulfilling prophecies. So if they focus in on it, they'll actually start to see that more. Could you, you know, add some more to that for our listeners?
Yeah. Well, first of all, thanks for sharing that, because we got a lot of little things. If you do, you'll switch your mind from negative to positive, optimistic, and to a new level of higher realism. I'll give you the best example. We live in a magnificent little place right above the ocean. People say, where do you live? I say, I live where heaven meets paradise, which was my dream vision, and I've written one of my 7,000 goals to have the home that we have over the, what they jokingly call the Pacific Lake. 6 o'clock a couple days ago, somebody's pounding on our door. Now, I live in a gated community that can't really happen very much, and there's only 40 houses in here, and it's quite spectacular. Anyhow, I look out the window, and I think, who the heck is this? And the guy says, hey, you're either draining your swimming pool or you got the worst plumbing problem in the world. And it was a guy I'd never met in the 40 houses here, a general contractor, and it was a miracle. This guy says, hey, look, you're flooding the whole damn neighborhood. What are you doing? And our water pipes had burst. Now, we'd been told by the water company that someone was charged too much. The house was just magnificently built, but somebody put wrong pipes in it. This guy spent an hour with me at no cost to me, a guy I'd never met before, totally miraculous. Then he said, hey, look, here's the only plumber you need, and he's Spanish-speaking. I speak Spanish. I'll call him. I'll get this done today. And, you know, he had it done. He shut off our water, which was a little surprising to go without a shower and all this stuff. You know, my wife and I had all the faucets turned on by the time we got back home that day after a work day. But the guy fixed the whole thing, and it was a miracle, because all of us are going to have breakdowns, and the only hope is you're going to have some miraculous person. Like in my case, it was a neighbor general contractor I didn't know but understood what the problem was. Because, you know, I chose to be a white glove guy, and I am a mechanic. I don't know which end of the hammer to hold, so I'm really useless. Like, all of us are LD, learning deficient, but in different places. So I wouldn't have known how to I didn't know where the water was in the house to turn it off. Does that make sense as a miracle? But all of us have those, and you got to recount them before you go to sleep at night and be thankful to the creator of the universe, because he created the place to be miraculous. That's what Einstein was saying. It's all a miracle. I mean, Einstein had an adult brain. He didn't make it through third grade, and yet he creates R equals MC squared and a bunch of other formulas I can teach, because my teacher was Einstein's best student, Dr. Buckminster Fuller. So it is, you know, it's miraculous that a kid of illiterate parents, my parents were illiterate Danish people that came here because of Hitler was coming in Denmark, and my dad's dad was head of military intelligence, said, here's $100, here's a visa, get your butt out of Denmark. I mean, at 14, no way could you predict that I could be the world's best-selling author, that I'd have a neighbor that would come. That's a miracle. At least it's a miracle in my eyes. Is it sort of miraculous sounding when you listen, Lee?
Absolutely. And why I liked your exercise in the book, Mark, so much was because I think a lot of people are so jaded that they don't acknowledge those, and they're not looking for them, and they're not doing any kind of gratitude for the good stuff, because they're so focused on what they don't have or what went wrong or who did them wrong or betrayed them and things like that. So I really highly recommend that people start that exercise. I recommend you get the book. But just, you know, in your book you explain really clearly what a miracle is, but you also have a definition of the word miracle. You know, you probably don't have the book in front of you, but okay, great. On page 31.
Oh, you're such a blessing to do that, but I got a new definition since I wrote the book, if I could, if you don't mind.
Okay, absolutely. Give us your definition of miracle.
You study Webster's definition, and I thought Webster was good, and you know, but he was just a guy who wrote the best he could, and he did a spectacular job. And Jack and I were tested at his alma mater. We both had vocabularies of over 150,000. But I've written a lot of definitions that I think are good. A miracle is an unusual or wondrous event or achievement, either created by, for, or with God in you. And the point is, with God in you, is Moses doubted God three times because of God, but I'm a stutter. And God said, look, pal, here's the way it's going to come down. You're going to tell your brother Aaron what to do. Aaron's going to tell, you know, 670,000 Jews what to do, and we're going to mosey on out of Egypt. And he said, but my brother, you know, Ramsey, was not very happy about all this. I'm sorry to do this, but I want all of you to understand that today we can cure stuttering. Back then we can. I'm not making any jokes or casting any aspersions. What I'm saying is that was wondrous, and he did wondrous stuff, but he didn't know it, in my opinion. I mean, I don't think I was there 6,000 years ago, but I don't think he knew it. I don't think anyone knows their full capability, and that's why it goes to that fourth category of the 4 points I'm teaching you that are in the book. You got to have a mastermind. You got to have a dream team. You got to have somebody like Lee cheering you on and having somebody take you to higher ground, somebody that you get in the energy orbit of that is decided to be a fully actualized, use Maslow's hierarchy. You know, you go from basic needs through wants and all the way to the top to self-actualization or self-realization. And that's where the miracles start to occur. It's at higher states of consciousness, which is why Lee said, shut off the channel, turn off the TV. One of the things I say in the book is have a hiatus on all the bad news. You don't need to watch CNN and ABC and NBC and Fox every day. It will pull, or it's BBC for some of you over in London and or the World News. The point, and I'm everywhere, is that you need to do put it in a stop sign, detour yourself, inundate yourself with. Lee's got great tapes, a great new book out also, which I am cheerfully endorsing because we're old friends, and she's brilliant. The point is, you need to hang with people that are pulling off the magic. I promise you, when I was with Buckminster Fuller, he doesn't spend any time on negativity. When we've been at Necker Island with Branson, he has a phone that blinks in red when there's conflict in the world because he created a non-conflicting thing with Nelson Mandela and our former president, Jimmy Carter, and, you know, Peter, anyhow, some really cool people. And then, you know, these guys decide, look, we're going to convert the negativity into positivity and create miracles for everyone. And all of us have that potential available. But the spiritual line, Christ said, it is greater is he or she that is in you than he or she that is in the world. This is like a wow, you know, because what my teacher, Bucky Fuller, said is, and then I'll stop, I promise. You've got a mind and a brain. A brain is simply an inventory device, and that's all that garbage that they load you with in school, most of which you're never going to do again. But a mind is what you and I are on this phone for, is to think and to expand and to express and to create and to do new wonders. That's why miracles are there. They're wondrous, unusual events or achievements that, you know, may be inspired by God, but I think it's more inspired by God in you because he's given you more than enough to do that. We're all over-endowed with 18 billion brain cells that can't come to work. Back to the first point I said, is you make the decision, your subconscious makes the provision. It's got to be in writing. You got to visualize it. In our case, go on Google, pull out a picture, put yourself in a picture on a magazine or the cover or the news story that has you at the end result. You've got to be there before you get there, and then you've got to have a mastermind or a dream team, two or more individuals, and a spirit of cooperative harmony is what Andrew Carnegie taught to Napoleon Hill, who taught it to me. And if you haven't been to Andy's house, those of you in Europe, you know, go up to Dornach, his 30,000 acres. If you're in New York City sometime, go to 95th and 5th Avenue, and you'll see that he did with a third grade education. He did what we said, and then he was totally philanthropic. He gave the world libraries, world around. He did 4,827 libraries. Guy was a monstrous success and very good and generous. How's that? Well, that's pretty miraculous.
and what inspiration. In your book, you say the miracles we get to participate always start as an idea. Your beliefs, your hopes, your dreams, speeches, discussions, mastermind sessions, visions, concepts, innovations, or even problems. And, you know, yeah. I believe that. So you talk about your relationship with Jay Walker, who is one of the, you know, America's best-known business innovators and entrepreneurs. And you actually said that he is a master at giving flesh to ideas. I love that line. So just, you know, talk about that a little bit, about giving flesh to ideas.
Okay, when you sell as many books as I do, you get some awards that maybe you deserve, maybe you don't. But I got the Salesman of the Year award for Visible Books, and Jay got it from Sales and Marketing International. Anyhow, Jay and I are on this thing, and I was blown away. Now, at the time, he created a brand new patent that never existed before called an invisible patent. And the invisible patent that makes him so much money is the first thing. Now he's got hundreds of them. He's considered the next Thomas Edison at some levels, but he created what's called the invisible patent. He created Priceline.com. What he saw was that an airplane takes off and it has 300 seats on it and 50 of them are empty. You can't make any money with it. Now the net cost of that 50 empty seats is, let's just use an arbitrary number, $50 each. But he said to, like, say, we'll just pick Delta Airlines or Virgin Air or any airline you want and say, hey, Delta, that cost you $50, whether somebody's sitting in their butt in that seat or not. I'm going to charge $100. You get $50. I get the other $50. Well, that made a $1 billion company overnight, and it is a patent that the patent office never thought they could do that patent. And now he's literally created a gazillion of those. And I said, hey, Jay, I mean, you know, here we are winning an award together. I've made all these great 38 sets of tapes for Nightingale Conant. I asked Vic Conant, can I do a set with you where I interview you? He said, no, I'm not going to teach anyone how to do invisible patents. The point is, get the concept, because the concept here is that every problem has got to be cogitated, ruminated, meditated on in the invisible and insolvable. Well, he solved, how do you fill all the empty seats with Priceline? And now we got Trivago and all kinds of stuff. You take a guy like that wants to help dating, like I had dinner with Mark Zuckerberg. Well, he's at Harvard and figures it out for Harvard, does it for all the Ivy League schools, and then, you know, does it. And now what he says to me, his law is that we double information, because first of all, you got Facebook, then you got Pinterest, you got Instagram, you got all these things going bing, 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 bing. That's what I'm saying. We're at the most, if you're awake and not reading the news media and getting sucked down into the low level, but you stay at the high level, and you know, obviously I'm a guy who likes to think at 100,000 feet, and I got the other people that can think at levels that are implementers, because my job is to be the visionary, hopefully, and inspire you to new levels of vision today. And, you know, that's what I think my job is. And we say every problem is an opportunity in disguise wearing work clothes, is what Edison said. And, you know, we're going to run out of whale oil, so Rockefeller figures out how to refine it with Overstreet. And right now the solution from whale oil was oil, and now the solution for us is I own three solar energy companies, and we're doing commercial, and we're doing rooftop, and we're doing wind installations where it fits, and we're doing in-stream auger turbines where there's hydropower, and we're doing all this stuff because we got to get off the stuff that was yesterday's solution is today's problem. Does that make sense?
Yes, I love that. Yesterday's solutions are today's problems, and that is absolutely so true. There's so many people stuck in their own mindset. One of the parts of the book that I really enjoyed was the power of focus. And you quoted Andrew Carnegie. You said the quote that has been deeply implanted in your spirit was, quote, any idea held in the mind will begin at once to clothe itself in the most convenient and appropriate form available. So talk to us about the power of how important focus is for real success.
Well, here's Andrew Carnegie, who comes out as a bobbin boy, which means he meant nothing, suddenly learns how to do telegraphy, which is a telegraph, right? Helps solve the war and he's a kid. He's 14 years old at this time, and he sees the railroad's going to boom, and they have, you know, he turns the Confederates around so Abe Lincoln could do it, and Abe Lincoln honors him at 14 years old. And then he sees that we're creating, I'm pretty scholarly in Andy. Andrew Carnegie. Anyhow, he decides that the sleeper car, the Pullman, is going to be it. So he has his mom finance her whole house 100%, which is pretty dangerous even back then, and buys a Pullman car and makes more per month in interest on a Pullman car so people could sleep on the railroad traveling across this new country called America when it was safe. And then he said, well, wait a second. There's no steel. So he goes to Germany, finds Bessemer, does what we call a no money down deal, because I wrote all those money books with like Bob Allen, who wrote no money, nothing down. And, you know, we wrote 1 minute millionaire and cash on flash, all that stuff. Anyhow, so he creates all that and he did it in his mind and did it before it could happen, wrote it down, had only one mastermind partner to start with, a guy named Charlie Schwab, who's a great grandfather of the Charlie Schwab you all know for stockbroking around the world. And what I'm saying is, we have a historical precedent that we're going to have problems. And the Danish poet laureate, Pat Hein, says what the world needs now is problem solvers galore, because each problem we solve creates 10 problems more. And what we're saying is you dream about the solution. And then Andy Carnegie said, hey, look, here's what's going to happen. You're going to clothe it. You're going to clothe the solution in a way that no one ever could predict. I mean, no one could predict that Steve Jobs, and then I got to finish this up. If Steve Jobs is going to make this thing called the iPhone. He said, I'll take 5% of the market, and suddenly 5% of the market. Now we got 7 billion cell phones. We got more than we have bathrooms in the world, which is way exciting, but we're out of energy. So my little companies are making energy, and it's the biggest business in the world. It's just amazing. And Lee, I apologize that I've got to end this. I hope you'll let me come back again, everybody. I've enjoyed talking to you. Bless your hearts for listening to me, and I hope you like the book if you choose to get it and get Lee's too and keep doing all this cool stuff we talked about, everybody. Thank you.
Okay, the book is called The Miracles in You, and thank you so much, Mark. And it is Mr. Mark Victor Hansen, and we were very lucky to get him for that 40-some minutes. I will tell you that his book is called, again, The Miracles in You, and it is the number one New York best-selling Time author and Chicken Soup for the Soul, which we've talked about. So I hope you've enjoyed it. He's a very inspiring guy, and there was a lot of things in the book that I really liked. He talked about praying for miracles. And I think that that's very, very important. Cavett Roberts, who was one of the big National Speakers Association founders, said, once you know what you want, you will have it so quickly that it will amaze you. You don't have to know how this works. You just have to know that it does work. And I'm flipping through the book as I talk to you, but one of the chapters is called Be the Miracles, and you really have to use your optimism, you have to use your spiritual power, you have to definitely keep your eyes open, and I'd like to end with a thought that was in Mark's book, and that is, you have to discipline yourself to look for miracles in life. So I suggest that you slow down, have a little bit of introspective every single night, and pay attention to your world. And one of the things that I always say is scan the landscape for opportunities. Because as entrepreneurs and business people, our job really is to create solutions. And so each day of your life can be a miracle. It's just a matter of how much mental, physical, emotional, spiritual, and financial energy are you willing to invest in yourself? And before we leave today, I would like to give a little bit of a plug to my own new book, which is called Reclaim the Magic, The Real Secrets of Manifesting Anything You Want. I'm very, very, very proud to say that in the very first day that we launched the book, it became an Amazon bestseller in two different categories, and I could not be more pleased because I used all the same strategies that Mark talked about. I wrote down my goals that we were going to make bestseller the day that we launched the book. I did all my prep work. I asked people, you know, it says ask and you shall receive. I asked everybody I knew to, you know, help us, you know, promote the book. I scripted about the book being a bestseller. I did, you know, do all my due diligence and hire a good PR person so they could help me, you know, get the book out there so people would know about it. But basically, I took, you know, thin air and created something, which is what we all do as entrepreneurs. We create our success out of thin air because all success and manifestation comes from mentally envisioning what you want, focusing in on it as a laser beam, not as a shotgun energy, focusing all that available energy and resources that you have and not giving up, no matter what. Go through it, above it, around it, just as Mark was saying. So I'll leave you with this thought today. Your point of power in this lifetime is this very moment. And to change your life, all you have to do is to change your mind. So this is Lee Miltier signing off. Have a fantastic day. And by the way, folks, the only person who can create miracles in your life truly is you.